Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Sam from FPL Family.
Hello, and I'm Press.
The first 10 games of game week 33 are in the bag, with three double game week fixtures still to come over the next couple of days. And it's been a big one at both ends of the table, as well as being a divisive one in FPL. 823,000 bench boosts are active, 693 triple captains, as well as 444,000 free hits and 219 wildcards. In fact, there are 2,379,580 chips active this week, which is a record only beaten by game week 24 last season, which was the first week of the assistant manager chip. Praz, it's chip season. Do you have one active and how's the game week going?
Yes, I have to first say this is so nice to see that so many people are active at this point in the season. So many chips are active. And of course, I was also on one of those. I was actually the more rarely seen wildcard, which was a week later than when everybody played. And of course, happy to talk about why I did it, but pretty happy with it so far. I've got 10 players who've played. Obviously, João Pedro didn't show up, and we'll talk about him if he does later this evening. But 55 points, reasonably good green arrow, and like most other people, have another set of doublers to play in the next three games. How was your week?
Yeah, it's been good so far. 62. I also have a chip active, although I am one of the more popular chips with the bench boost being active. In itself, the bench boost chip has been a bit, I'm going to say, disappointing. So obviously I have Roofs as my goalkeeper on the bench this week because I played Dubravka, which neither of them is going particularly well, to be honest. 0 points for Dubravka, one for Roofs on the bench. I didn't quite see him conceding as many as he did to Aston Villa, but we'll talk about that game later. I do have Morgan Rogers, though, on the bench. So that was nice. Gabriel with a 0 pointer, although to be honest, Praz, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this in a minute, I'm quite thankful that it was just the nought and not just a minus zero. Point, which is what I was thinking might happen in midway through a Sunday afternoon. And I had Thiago, which was really disappointing as my bench boost option. So my bench is now done. A grand total of 11 points, which I think is disappointing given that last week I had Gaehi on my bench for 15. I should have just played it last week. However, as you say, the rest of the team stacked full of doublers. So they're all going to play again. So 62, a big green arrow so far. Hopefully, if some of them can return, and of course, if João Pedro could turn up tonight, that would be really nice and set us up in good stead for the rest of the week. Does mean that my team is looking a bit difficult for next week. So I'll have another chip active again for the blank coming up. But yeah, it's been good. I do enjoy the madness of a double game week.
Yeah, it's fun times. I think everyone has their own agendas. Like people who are not on a bench boost, they're hoping João Pedro doesn't show up. Because we're like, you know, we're like, we want the bench boosters to be mudded and this rivalry that shows up with multiple chips in play. It's fun. It's fun.
Who would you have off your bench if João Pedro doesn't turn up tonight?
Bruno Fernandes. So I'm happy to take
his
6 points.
So you really do want to take it. Yeah, for you. Whereas I'm really hoping for João Pedro to turn up and do well tonight. Shall we get into the games then? I think it seems only right to start at the top end of the table, despite the fact that Manchester City won't play in blank game week 34 that we have coming up next. But Manchester City 2, Arsenal 1. It feels like it might be title defining, this one. And I think we probably should start with Nico O'Reilly because obviously he was a bit of a doubt all week and managers were panicking after seeing him go off with what looked like a hamstring injury in game week 32. Pep told us he was fine. We all still panic a little bit. Is Pep telling us the exact truth? But no, he starts the game, picks up an assist, which is his third return now in the last two matches. Also got a share of the bonus points. Look, he is in phenomenal form, isn't he? And I think if you brought him in this week, well, there's probably a lot of managers that maybe didn't bring him in this week despite wanting to because of the slight doubts that were there. But he just looks like a season-long hold.
I mean, he's probably the best defender in the game. I mean, you could even go as far as saying best pick in the game. And it won't be sort of overpraising how he's doing. It's his relationship with Doku, which is really fascinating. So in the middle of the season, a lot of people had Nico O'Reilly and were disappointed, myself included, because that relationship wasn't the same when it wasn't Doku on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
When it is Doku holds the width and Nico O'Reilly just has the license to to underlap and just have fun, you know, in the box. And that means receiving the ball to head the ball in to score like he did in the Carabao Cups, or just get an assist because he's there. He's that extra body. He's that fifth attacker in the Man City's attack. So, you know, I talk about chip strategies. My chip strategy was determined by what Pep said on Nico O'Reilly. So I was looking to free hit actually in game. This is how much I value him, where I felt like if he's out, then it's a great week to free hit because you can swerve Nico O'Reilly. Maybe you can get a Cherki, and obviously we'll talk about Cherki in a second. But I was like, if he's fit, then just wildcard now and get him because you want him for the rest of the season. So I'm fully with you.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, going into the midweek round of fixtures, obviously they've still got Burnley to play in this double game week. So that feels like another opportunity either for an attacking return because he feels like he might get one at any opportunity with the position he's playing in, as you mentioned. But I also think the clean sheet is more likely to be there in this one. I'm not sure, you know, the Arsenal game was always going to be a difficult one. And particularly after Manchester City scored, you kind of always felt that Arsenal would try and push on. And because obviously for them, getting something out of this game was really, really important. I'm not sure that they expected the mistake that they had at the back that gifted them the goal. But nonetheless, I would expect some more points from Nico O'Reilly. And as a Gaye owner, I was in a really tough spot going into this game week because I had my three Manchester City in play. And it just felt really counterintuitive to sell Gaye to bring in Nico O'Reilly, despite the fact that I thought Nico O'Reilly was the best pick for the game week. I was just like, I can't bring myself to take out somebody that's just got 15 points last week because he scored and got the clean sheet. I feel like I've got to stick and stay loyal to Gaye, especially as he's been phenomenal for me all season at his time at Crystal Palace and then obviously since he joined Man City as well. Ryan Cherki, another Manchester City player that I did not have for this week because I was set up with my three already with Haaland, Semenyo and Gaye. This was Cherki's first goal since game week 24. Gets the three bonus points. That's a score of 10 now in two consecutive matches. And only Erling Haaland can better his 15 attacking returns. He just seems to have gone up a gear in the last few weeks and is looking like a really brilliant differential for those that bought him in.
Yeah, I mean, we've come to this. It happens, you know, it's like a very unique, rare occurrence where Pep settles on an 11.
So and, unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, we're trying to always second guess him, but there are moments where you go, okay, we know what Pep's going to put out. So we, you know, there were no surprises in the team news apart from Nico O'Reilly being actually fit. So Cherki is very much a part of that team. He was in and out when Semenyo is playing as the second striker. Now Semenyo is very much playing as the right forward, you know, basically the mirror image of Doku. And it's Cherki who's playing in that 10 position, just and he's involved in everything. He's involved in the assists, got a couple of those against Chelsea in the previous game week. And then he has these dribbling shoes on and gets that magnificent goal. And yeah, he's a great player to watch. You know, the skeptics, the FPL managers will say, oh, he's never finishing games. He's playing 70-odd minutes every time Foden comes on for him or Savinho comes on. So, you know, those run of returns may come to an end because he's not playing the 90 minutes. But look, he's so central to everything that he's a great shout. And whether that is because you want to go triple attack or you want to go Cherki instead of Semenyo, I think all of those are reasonably good alternatives.
Well, let's talk about the other one that would be involved in that triple attack then. Erling Haaland, was he your captain this week or did you go against it?
I mean, he had to be the captain. Despite form, you know, we have to remember that Haaland can still score goals. It was a double game week. And the second game, essentially people captained him because he was playing Burnley as one of the games.
Yeah.
The return against Arsenal is a bonus.
Yeah, for sure. It feels like that, doesn't it? And as you mentioned, it's Burnley in the midweek second fixture of the double game week. They've conceded 65 goals, 540 shots, 99 big chances, all the worst in the league. So it feels like if you're on the captaincy for Haaland, you've got it right. It also feels like that number of triple captainers that have played the chip on him because, you know, we mentioned at the beginning, we've got 693,000 triple captains active. I would hazard a guess that the majority of those, the vast majority of those, have given it to Erling Haaland. There might be some Cole Palmers in there, and we'll talk about that shortly. But it does feel like he is, you know, he is the one to have. And actually, maybe across this double, with all the talks of wild cards and free hits and bench boosts, maybe the triple captain might actually have been the chip to play if he goes mad against Burnley, which the numbers suggest he might.
Yeah, and you know, the good thing is the result for anyone who has vested interest in the FPL season going on for a longer time, with Arsenal and Man City having something to play for until the end of the season, this was the perfect result. And so, you know, we could have made a case of seeing some rotation against Burnley had Man City lost, for example, because they have the FA Cup semi-final coming up on Saturday. But now it seems like, no, league is the priority. Now, it was as well, but if Arsenal win that game, does Pep look at Burnley and say, you know what, I can put out Foden, Marmoush, Savinho and still get a result?
Not bad options, right?
But not anymore.
Yeah. It feels that way to me. We did have maybe a possible injury to Rodri that we just need to keep an eye on, see how that pans out. He's not very popular in FPL, but he does have an impact in terms of how Manchester City play and what we might expect from other options as we move forward with them across the next few weeks. Right. Let's talk Arsenal for a minute then. I said at the beginning of this, I felt a bit fortunate to have Gabriel just with the 0 points as part of my bench boost. Could easily have gone differently that game, but what a battle it was between Gabriel and Erling Haaland. I must admit, I think as a neutral watching a game, the battle between those two was one of the best things I've seen in the Premier League this season, because they were both so committed to just getting the result that their team needed. And it kind of reiterated to me that despite, you know, the should he or shouldn't he not have been sent off, Gabriel is a firm hold. And as a player that has a fixture in blank game week 34, regardless of whether you're free hitting or not, he has got to be part of the team that you choose, surely.
Oh, yeah. And I think that goes for just any Arsenal that you have. Of course, Gabriel is the best pick from Arsenal. But any Arsenal that you have, this result has again put, you know, made it very clear that this league campaign is going to go down to the wire, is going to go down to the last game week. And so Arsenal picks remain excellent picks going forward, whether that is Gabriel, that could be another defender you may have, Saliba, Raya, Rice is also a good pick. So, I mean, starting with Gabriel first, I want to say very old school battle, right? I mean, growing up with like a Vieira versus Keane kind of thing.
Yeah, very much.
Very much. Obviously, those two were midfielders, so not the same analogy. But it's a similar theme where even before the game starts, you know there's a little bit of a needle there. They will go off against each other. And in a way, as a neutral, I didn't mind him not getting the red card. Of course, when you put your FPL hat on and you go, hey, Gabriel is well-owned and you don't have him this week, then you think about other things. But I think from a game perspective, it was nice that Arsenal still pushed. And, you know, just aside from FPL, another word on just how Arteta set up for the game. It was a nice, refreshing surprise that it wasn't the old parking of the bus, let's just hope that we keep a clean sheet and get out of the game. Arsenal gave them a game. They had lots of chances. Eze hit the post. Havertz had that brilliant header just, I think, in the injury time.
Yeah.
So I think Arsenal gave it a right go. And I think you can call them a little bit unlucky not having any results, any points from that game.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I think there'll be a big conversation point heading into next week, because for those managers that are free hitting in 34, deciding on three Arsenal is probably going to be a challenge. It's a game against Newcastle, obviously, that they've got. But we'll talk about Newcastle in a little bit, because they are really out of form right now. And it feels like an opportunity where Arsenal will need to go and win that game in order to make sure that this title race continues to go down to the wire, especially if Man City have beaten Burnley, as we expect will happen on Wednesday evening. Let's talk about your team then, Praz, because you had a nice win this week, despite benching probably your favourite Manchester United player, I would expect. So Chelsea 0, Manchester United 1. Go on, I'll let you start with this one, because this was a great result for you lot.
Absolute great result. I mean, this was almost like a bonus game, because a lot of Man United fans would have taken a draw going into this game, because, you know, you keep your lead against Chelsea, top five should get Champions League. So that was the theme going into it. And the added theme was Man United had no defenders. Maguire was suspended, Martinez was suspended, and then we heard that Euro got this injury as well, so he hadn't travelled. So you're putting out a Mazraoui and an Eden Heaven at centre-back, and you're going, this is not going to be good. And there was a point even before the deadline where I was like, maybe Palmer should be captain, because he's going to get a lot of chances through the middle. So this was the backdrop to the whole game. And then to come up with a 1-0 game and actually be good value. Now, Chelsea did create some chances. They were lucky. They hit the post a few times. But as a Man United fan, I was very happy with the defensive performance. There was a little bit of nervousness in the first 20 minutes where Heaven did commit a few fouls. But we got there in the end. And I think it was a great result. And very happy with Casemiro's performance. You know, he was the the third highest in the match for defensive contributions and his clearances. And so he just had a great game, like he does in most of these. Bruno was great. He's now two behind Thierry Henry for the Premier League record for most number of assists. And then Cunha got his goal. He's been in excellent form as well.
Yeah, I must admit, I was very, very impressed with Manchester United because I did worry. So going into this game week, I only have João Pedro from Chelsea in my FPL team. And I was looking at it and I was listening to all of the other people talking around the community about how they were going to get Palmer and Manchester United didn't have a defence. And I was thinking, should I be tearing up my team to get Cole Palmer as somebody that doesn't have a wild card left to play because I played it many, many weeks ago? I then have to think about the consequences of that because in reality, I'd have had to have taken Bruno Fernandes out in order to have brought Cole Palmer in. And then I'd have had to shuffle around a little bit more as well. So we'd be talking about points hits as well. And I just thought, I don't feel like Cole Palmer's form, and this might bite me tonight when they play again, but I don't feel like his form warrants taking him out when Bruno Fernandes has been in such fantastic form. I mean, we've got what? Assists in the last six matches in the Premier League. 19 across. It's unbelievable how well he is playing right now. And you couple that with his relationship with Casemiro, that the two of them are playing so well together that I just thought, I think I might just stick it out with what I have in this one. Mm. I've got my bench boost active. I'd like to play Bruno Fernandes. I'm happy with that. And then I'll just go with João Pedro. But I am looking at Manchester United much more heavily for game week 34 on the back of this one, because I think with the performance that you showed against Chelsea heading into next week, Bruno Fernandes doesn't feel like alone he'll be enough as part of a free hit team because you've got so many other great options. Obviously, some of your defenders will be back, so you wouldn't be expecting to play quite such a makeshift back line as you did this week. And okay, it's Brentford, but it's Brentford at home. And I would expect that Manchester United build on this and really secure that top five finish to give them Champions League football for next season. So coupling Bruno with a Cunha or a Casemiro or even a Dallo or a Lamont, like it feels like there are options in that Manchester United team now. And I was very, very impressed by them. Chelsea, on the other hand, I don't really know what to make of Chelsea right now because obviously we're in the middle of the double game week. We will get a week off from having to make Chelsea choices next week because obviously they'll blank as part of the FA Cup. João Pedro, I ummed and ahed for ages going into this week about because it felt counterintuitive to sell a double game week player to swap in for another one, despite the fact that I thought that probably Welbeck and DCL were potentially better options for the week. I was a little bit worried about them playing in both fixtures, both of them, because we haven't been seeing that all season. But I decided that it felt ridiculous to sell João Pedro. Now, looking at it, having missed the opening game of the game week, I'm starting to think, well, maybe I should have taken the -4 because if he doesn't show up tonight, it invalidates my bench because Morgan Rogers is my first sub. So okay, that would mean my bench boost has 3 points on it if he doesn't turn up. So I very much need João Pedro to turn up for the game against Brighton. But yeah, I was just really, really disappointed in Chelsea generally and in Cole Palmer. I just don't see that attacking grit that we had maybe earlier on in the season when you just felt like they could regularly return this time around, despite Manchester United's weakened defence. Chelsea didn't look great. And I don't know that they will against Brighton because Brighton have been in fantastic form recently.
Yeah, it's now 4 Premier League games in a row where Chelsea have failed to score. That's a lot. So Newcastle, Everton, Man City and Man United. So going into Brighton, which, you know, their defence has looked a lot better, is a little bit of a worry. But all I'd say is motivation is there, right? I mean, they have all to play for. They can't afford to finish 6th. And so they will give it their go. And I thought Enzo had a very good game in particular, actually, even though he played in the 8 alongside Caicedo. But his usual box crashing, he got, I thought, the best chances all fell to either Delap or Enzo. So I do agree with you that, you know, even though Palmer looked threatening, it didn't really convert to chances that he got, and all of those fell to Enzo. So I think some people went for Enzo this week. They should be a little bit bullish because he looks to be okay. He came off with, you know, he asked to be taken off, so there was a little bit of a worry if he's injured, but it seems like it was just a cramp. And you know, I hope for your sake that João Pedro is back and he gets some FPL points. And, you know, as a non-bench booster, I don't mind if João Pedro comes back and scores, because Brighton defense is also very popular on, you know, people who've bench boosted, and I don't have any Brighton players. So regardless of how this plays out tonight, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, this feels like a perfect segue into talking about Spurs versus Brighton. Now, yeah. I have timed my appearances on this podcast quite well in recent weeks, because the last time I was here, Spurs had picked up a point against Liverpool in the draw there. And today, I honestly thought about 95 minutes into this game that I was going to be able to come here and talk to you about a Spurs three-pointer. And then it didn't quite happen. But we finished with a draw, 2-2 in this one. I had two Brighton assets in my FPL team for this week. I had Jean-Paul Van Heek, who I bought in for game week 32. And then this week, the transfer that I made was to bring in Pascal Gross. Both of those picking up attacking returns. So despite the fact that there was no clean sheet, obviously had the late assist. I wish I hadn't, but I had the late assist for Van Heek, who also picked up a couple of defensive contribution points. He's just been a really nice own for managers, and feels like if you can cope with it in game week 34... that you could hold him till the end of the season, because, you know, we've been speaking about the title run maybe going for a long time, about Chelsea and Manchester United in the race for Champions League football for next season. We'll put Brighton in that race for Champions League football as well, because they've very much got something to fight for. And this game against Chelsea will be really, really important for that. So Van Heek feeling like a player you could hold for the rest of the season. And Pascal Gross, there was a lot of conversation around how he was probably the more boring of the Brighton midfielder choices that you could have picked. I just didn't see it that way. I looked at him and thought he feels quite exciting because he's on set pieces. He's playing two sides that deal particularly badly with set pieces in Spurs and Chelsea. And again, last week, obviously, had Burnley. And I thought, well, over the next couple of weeks, there's probably some real opportunities here. Again, we get an assist because his... involvement play is so good. His pass completion is so, so good. Whenever he does anything in a game, he's always likely to pick up bonus points. And we saw that in this one with the maximum bonus points. Supplied 7 crosses in this one, created 4 chances. One of those was a big chance, despite the fact that actually Brighton weren't they weren't the better side for the majority of this game. Gross played really well, and I really only bought him in for this week, but I'm looking now more longer term with him and thinking he feels like a player that I could just keep. And at his price point, he can easily be benched in some weeks if I don't want to play him. But I'm starting to think he might be the rest of the season staying with me now.
No, he's good. I mean, often these picks are called boring. You know, Elliot Anderson comes to mind. You know, players who take some set pieces and get defensive contributions, they are your bread and butter. And if you can get them on the cheap and you can play them in the right fixtures, then yeah, they're great. So 2 assists already. And players like these also get bonus when they do get returns. So, you know, no surprises that Gross comes out with 3 bonus points in this game. So yeah, nothing wrong with him. I think Brighton in general, people, you know, it's a home game. And there were a few that went for Mitoma, were disappointed that he was benched, but then he comes on, scores. And Hertzler yesterday in the press conference also said that he's fine. It wasn't an injury, because he did come on for Gomez and then went off again. So that he looks to be fine. Gomez, though, is possibly out, or he is ruled out for the second game, and he might be a transfer out for people. But other than that, because Gomez is now injured, it looks good for everybody else's minutes. So if you have Hinchelwood, if you have Minte, if you have Mitoma, I think all of those look good. Welbeck, I'm not very sure if he starts tonight. No. So far this season, whenever there's been a gap of under 5 days between 2 games, he hasn't started the second game. So he did come off earlier, so you never know. And Brighton don't have the weekend game because obviously they're not in the FA Cup. They're not involved in the FA Cup. So maybe Welbeck starts. And if he does, again, that should be good for his owner. So we'll see with Brighton. But come on, we have to talk about Spurs. Tell us about Spurs. What did you feel? That must have been I think as a neutral, it was a better performance at least, right?
Do you know what, Praz? I think in the last 2 seasons, that's the best I've seen us play in a Premier League match for 2 years. And I go every single week.
Right.
And it's been torturous. to be honest, for much of the season. But this week, not only can I talk positively about Spurs, but I can talk positively about Spurs ahead of a week where we play Wolves, in a week where FPL managers will be free hitting and FPL managers will be looking for differentials for their team because we don't have the likes of Manchester City playing. And it does feel like Spurs suddenly have some relevance in this. When De Zerbi arrived, I said that there were two players that I thought might be really, really important in his system. One of those was Pedro Porro and the other one was Xavi Simons. And both of them, very important during this match. Pedro Porro, despite this being his first goal of the season, he, over the last couple of weeks since the arrival of De Zerbi, has been so much more attacking than we've been seeing previously. He'd been asking Udogi to hold back a little bit more, and that meant that Porro was just constantly on the go. He was forward at all times, but he wasn't just forward and staying wide. He was forward, cutting inside, ending up in the box, much like a right midfielder in many ways. So we were seeing him playing almost out of position, but obviously having to do the hard work tracking back. Now, he does miss the Matoma marking at that point because Matoma is in his area and he probably should be picking him up. But leave that aside, I thought he had a fantastic game. And under Tudor, we saw him removed from set pieces, whereas now under De Zerbi, we're back on those again. So he feels like a really good own for particularly the free hit in game week 34. Got a couple of defensive contribution points out of him as well as a bonus point. So looking like a great option. And then Simons now, for the last sort of 8 to 10 minutes of the game, we were very much playing with 10 men, having already made the 5 substitutions because Xavi was really struggling with cramp. I don't know how many packets of gels I saw him be delivered to get him through those last few minutes of the game, but it was very much a handicap. Now, I don't think it's an injury. I do think it's just cramp. We haven't seen very many minutes from Xavi over the course of the season. And when he has played, he's either come on for the last sort of 30-ish minutes of a game, or he started and then withdrawn around 60 minutes. The only real minutes we've seen from him properly have been in the Champions League. And then he's not being asked to do such a physical job as he is asked to do in the Premier League. But a goal and an assist for him, that's his first attacking returns for Spurs since game week 24. I think he could be a really great differential for managers that are looking for one for the blank game week next week.
Interesting. And again, for the more boring ones out there like me, Solanke, he's getting 90 minutes every game. He should be on penalties. Yes. How is he looking?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? He wasn't particularly threatening in this one. He had a couple of moments where he breaks through. But I think the thing with him is he does such an important job in holding the ball up, winning back, dropping deep. I was about to say Kane-esque. Not Kane-esque in terms of attacking returns, but Kane-esque in terms of his work rate. And so what he is being asked to do in that team is really important. And I think that's why he's playing him over Richarlison, because Richarlison, whilst he has more attacking threat, potentially at the moment, Solanke is doing the all-round job that's so important for us in terms of trying to win games and put points into right. that league table. So I think Solanke continues to start 90. De Zerbi's comments on him have been really, really positive. So I think going for say it quietly, Praz, but going for a Spurs treble up on a free hit for 34 is not terrible.
Would you I go it here first?
I know. Would I go for 3 if I wasn't free hitting? No. Don't get yourself 3 Spurs and then have to keep them for the rest of the season if you're not free hitting next week. But you could definitely get one. And if you can't afford Pedro Porro, you could go in for one of the cheaper defensive options. Be careful of Kinski though, because Vicario will be back either this week or maybe the week after.
Excellent. That's the longest segment on Spurs we've had all season. There you go.
I'm very positive, but let's move on because that's enough. That's enough, Spurs. Should we talk about Liverpool and Everton? Because this was another injury time winner in this one. And both of these teams with a fixture next week. So both of them relevant for us in FPL ahead of game week 34. Obviously, my Liverpool supporting husband was very excited with that Virgil van Dijk header right at the death of this one. But I could not help but think, goodness me, if that had come 4 weeks ago, I'd have been delighted when both Virgil and Szoboszlai were in my team. As it happens, neither of them are now still in my team because I sold Szoboszlai this week for Pascal Gross, which is still fine and probably works out in the long run. But I must admit, that goal did just... Oh, the FPL manager in me was like, no, I would have loved those points a few weeks back. What'd you make of this one?
I think it was a good Everton performance and they should have been good for a draw here. And this is not me talking as a Man United fan. I just thought they were... that that, you know, that Ndiaye goal was so close. And if he scores that, you just never know with Liverpool's confidence. And so I think, yes, the Salah goal settled the nerves. And then, you know, an injury time winner is an injury time winner. So I think it's good from a FPL point of view that we have Salah back. You know, a lot of people on free hit will be looking at him. Of course, Van Dijk keeps getting either a defensive contribution or a goal or a clean sheet. And so he's been consistent, even though people do think of him as a little bit disappointing this season. I think he's been fine. And then Szoboszlai has been fantastic as well. But the one guy who stood out for me from Liverpool was actually Gakpo. And this is you know, an effect from, unfortunately, Ekitike being injured. And if once Ekitike is injured, Gakpo has been starting and Isak's been up front. Now, Isak's been disappointing, but he's coming back from an injury, right? That the form takes time to come back. But on Gakpo's side, he had 5 shots and 4 chances created, which were the highest from Liverpool. And what was interesting was when Isak comes off, and we know Isak will come off because he's not ready to play 90 minutes, Rio went to the left and Gakpo went up top. So this means that you could see 90 minutes of Gakpo, 30 of which could be up top, and he's creating a lot of chances. So I did like him as well, and I earmarked him as somebody who I can think about for a free hit this week.
Yeah, and I think in my free hit team for this week, I've got currently 3 Liverpool assets because it feels like going for 3 Liverpool is the right thing to do. Again, I think this winner, right of the death, was a real shot in the arm for their Champions League attempts for next season, because it felt with Chelsea losing that with them then going on to pick up 3 points, especially at the same time that Manchester United and Aston Villa were picking up 3 points, that this was a really important win for them. Mo Salah will be in my free hit team, and I am very, very tempted to go against the Bruno Fernandes captaincy for next week and give it to Mo for one final time, because obviously we know that he's going to be leaving us at the end of this season. I wouldn't necessarily want to bring him back into my team as a long-term hold between now and the end, simply because I don't think the budget's going to stretch that far, especially with knowing I'm going to want to keep Erling Haaland with the title race as it is. But this is back-to-back goals for Mo Salah for the first time since game weeks, get this, 9 and 10.
Wow.
Last season, it was unthinkable, wasn't it, that we would have gone for that long without a back-to-back set of goals for Mo Salah. And 3 of his 7 goals have come in his last 3 starts. So he is starting to find a bit of form as we come towards the closing weeks of the season. It's an attractive-looking fixture on paper against Crystal Palace, although Liverpool's record against Crystal Palace isn't great.
It's not great at all.
No, but it does feel like an opportunity for free hitters to go with Mo Salah. Virgil kind of, for me, picks himself because the clean sheet potential is there. And even if it goes, Virgil's attacking threat is there. And if we do lose that, we almost always get some DEFCON points out of him as well. So there's a good route to points for Virgil. So Szoboszlai's in there as an option because, of course, we've seen another assist from him. He's Liverpool's top scoring player over the last few weeks. We've got 33 points out of him in the last 6, which is better than anyone else at Liverpool. And then there's a little cheeky punt on the goalkeeper because obviously we've got Alisson out. We've got now Mamardashvili out. And so now we are at the third choice goalkeeper in Alfie Woodman, who came on in this one to replace Mamardashvili. Would I buy Alfie Woodman as part of my actual FPL team? No. Will I get him on a free hit? Maybe. Because we do have an opportunity where Crystal Palace have got kind of a bit of divided loyalty, despite the brilliant comments from Dean Henderson, I thought, at the end of the game, where he was talking about how disappointed they were not to have got the 3 points in the league and really have established that league form as well. And I thought, I like that, because often when we get to this point, thinking back to Spurs and Manchester United actually last season, forget the league, let's focus on winning a trophy. We don't seem to be getting that from Palace, which is a really positive thing for us in FPL. But maybe there's an opportunity here. And I think on a free hit, you could go there if you wanted to. Be careful longer term, because Alisson will be back at some stage. And I think they're targeting
the Man United game.
Yeah, the Manchester United game as a return for him. So you would only potentially have 1 week of Woodman if you went there. But on a free hit, and on a free hit as a second goalkeeper, feels like a really, really good opportunity at 3.9 million.
Yep, I don't hate it. Although I think personally I'll go for a midfielder, whether that's Wirtz, Szoboszlai or Gakpo. Just feels like pair them up with a Van Dijk and a Salah, because there's other defenses, you know, elite defenses like Spurs you can target on your
elite
defenses. Sarcasm. Oh, sarcasm.
We're going to take that as you being absolutely positive about Spurs' defense, and I'm going to live with that forever. I'm going to clip that and play it to everyone.
I'll tell you what, Poro will definitely be in my team, but we can't go back to Spurs. And of course, the second elite defense I was talking about without sarcasm was Arsenal. So you can also get two of your Arsenal defenders on a free hit home to Newcastle. But we digress. I think Everton is also an interesting team if you want to pick them up. I think a little bit of a injury blow with Branthwaite injured again. Of course, Michael Keane will come in and deputize, but still, it is still a blow. And with Everton, you know, they were so close. Had they won this game, they would actually overtaken Chelsea, which would have been huge for them. They would be sixth. So suddenly feels like this loss now means, you know, what does that mean for their rest of the season? We start talking about beach teams, but, you know, they still have Europe. It's a new stadium. I think they will keep going. So if you wanted to pick up a Dewsbury Hall, an Indai, a Tarkowski, who's been a defensive contribution monster this season, I think those are all solid picks as well.
Aston Villa, for me, are another team that I'm really carefully considering for next week, because I have Morgan Rodgers in my team and he has been a frustrating own for the last few weeks. But now we have had an attacking return in each of the last three matches, which is great. Except last week, I can't help but feel really frustrated by him because he could have had, it was finished on 11 DEFCON, one went over the bar. I was really annoyed. This week, I'm looking at a 4-goal thriller from Aston Villa. And by the way, 3 from Sunderland as well. So great game from an attacking standpoint. But again, couldn't help but feel like Morgan Rodgers wasn't so much in this one until he scores and obviously gets the goal. And I'm pleased with the goal and he picks up the 8-pointer. But I would have liked more. All of that said, he has an attacking return in each of the reverse fixtures that he played this season against the next 3 opponents, of which they are Fulham, Spurs and Burnley. And he got 17 points across those matches. So he's going to be a long-term hold for me and my FPL team. And I will also have him in my game week 34 free hit team. But I'll be pairing him up with Ollie Watkins, who's suddenly gone, Thomas Tuchel, don't forget to put me on the plane. What a performance from him again. So a brace and an assist from him. 3 bonus points, 16-point haul, his highest of the season so far. He is now the most transferred in player ahead of game week 34. I like the fixtures that they have coming up. I like his form. I like the fact that, you know, we've got in the last 5 matches, we've had 6 goals out of him. Like, he is doing everything right to put his name in the hat to be on that plane with England in the summer. And I think that continues, especially as, much like we just said about Crystal Palace, Aston Villa also seem to have decided that they're not just going to rely on trying to win a trophy to get them into Europe next season. They want to secure the top 5 finish and secure Champions League football, regardless of what happens in the Europa League. So Morgan Rodgers, Ollie Watkins, probably, possibly another Aston Villa player as well, but definitely those two for me moving forwards.
Yep, I don't disagree. I think Watkins is a very streaky player. When he's on form, he's a good pick. And then he does go through these patches where he doesn't do anything, like I did. I owned him for the first 8 game weeks for not a single return. No biases there. But I think he's good. I think the Aston Villa are a better team to invest if you're not free-hitting this week, because their fixtures actually are very good even after game week 34. On a free hit, you can debate whether you want that player away to Fulham. Now, they'll have a nice break this week. So unlike other weeks where they have these Thursday night games, they will actually have a break this week and then they go into the weekend fixture. So you could see good minutes. But for me, I'm always thinking Aston Villa attack away to Fulham. Is that really the pick, you know, the attack that you want to go for on a free hit? We will see. But I think form really gets them as an interesting pick. And I think this is all because of McGinn's return. I mean, obviously, there are other factors
and Tielemans as well. The pair of them.
It's just run the midfield and the way they transition the ball from defense to attack a lot smoother. And McGinn created the most chances in the game, 4 of them in this one. And he's just been perfect. You know, his return has coincided with Villa and Watkins' form.
I don't disagree with you at all there. I think that difference is marked. And you saw it as soon as those two got injured, that they just lost momentum. And now with them back, they've refound their form. multiple times over the last few weeks. Another team that's in great attacking form right now is Leeds. They were obviously a big target for FPL managers this week because of the double game week. A 3-0 win against Wolves, which I don't think anybody will be surprised about. Maybe we're surprised about the goal-scoring defender in this one, though, because I don't think anybody was thinking that James Justin was going to be the defender of choice for this week. A goal, a clean sheet, defensive contribution points, maximum bonus points, his first double-digit haul of the season. Of course, I've got Bujol rather than Justin, but Bujol is going to get something for me in the second game of the double, I am sure. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, the most transferred in, he rewarded the managers that got him in with a goal. If you got Leeds for the double, you're looking like you're in a good spot, right?
Yep, yeah, it's solid. And then they go to Burnley, or they play Burnley at home in game week 35 as well. So after they come out from a potential free hit, you've got great picks again. It's no wonder people went for Leeds triple ups. And the slight nervousness was that for the Bournemouth game that Farke might rotate because they have the FA Cup semi-final coming up as well. He was pretty clear after the game that he will not do that. Even though they're on 39 points now, they will continue to focus and we should see a strong lineup again.
And the team that they have to face in midweek is Bournemouth. They obviously won against Newcastle in a 2-1 victory. As somebody that only had the single Bournemouth defender, I don't think I was absolutely that upset about the clean sheet going, because obviously when you only have one of them, but the Hill, Senesi, or Hill and Petrovic, or Senesi and Petrovic, or even Truffaut combinations were very popular with managers. So when the clean sheet went, I was like, oh, that's annoying. Maybe actually in the long term, it might be okay though, because I only had Senesi. What did upset me was that Senesi didn't get bonus points. And I was like, what's this? You always get bonus points. Where are they? But we did get defensive contribution points from Hill. So yeah, I was a little bit frustrated as a Senesi owner not to see that, but it is what it is, Praz. I did have though, Marcus Tavernier, who's been in my team for a while. That was his sixth goal of the season, his 10th attacking return. And I came quite close to losing my temper with him a few weeks ago when he didn't take the penalty, because I was thinking, my goodness, I thought you were on pens. That's why I'd brought you in. And then you give it to Kruppi. But I was very happy with that one. And that made quite a big difference to my rank this week. So yeah, impressive from Bournemouth. And again, I think remain long-term holds if you've bought them in for this double game week, because the fixtures remain nice, with the exception maybe of that Manchester City game that they have coming up.
Absolutely. Just a quick word on Newcastle as well. They look like zero motivation. Gordon is not in the squad. And this Arsenal game that they have coming up in game week 34, it just looks like, potential for points for Arsenal, because if Gordon doesn't show up, Bruno was on the bench, but then Joe Linton is suspended. You could have, players not coming back. Livramento could miss out as well. So it just doesn't look good at Newcastle. So definitely not FPL picks. In fact, we're getting into the territory of targeting them for our picks when they play them.
Yeah, particularly because of Arsenal up next. A team that I think we will be targeting, though, from a picking FPL perspective when it comes to game week 34 is Nottingham Forest, who have, after that victory against Spurs a few weeks ago, have really kicked on and improved their form. And it's coinciding with obviously a really great run for them in Europe, although they will face Aston Villa up next. So really interesting ties for the English teams in Europe in a couple of weeks. But Morgan Gibbs-White, I think, is the one I really want to just talk about here, because he gets a hat trick. This was his best ever fantasy return, 20 points. Bruno currently is the only player who can better his 50 points across the last six game weeks. This is a prime example of a player that many managers will have ignored because of the double game week. They'll have gone, okay, well, I'm going to focus in on Leeds and Bournemouth and Brighton and Chelsea. But there was Forrest with this nice game against Burnley, and there's Morgan Gibbs-White, who just turned it on in style and has really turned it on when his team needed him most in terms of Premier League survival. So a definite candidate for free hit teams, and also potentially to own in full-time FPL. Now, maybe there's a little bit of issues around what happens in the Europa League match against Aston Villa, because that is a difficult game for both sides, actually. It's a difficult fixture for both Forest and Villa. But I think on a free hit, Morgan Gibbs-White feels like a bit of a no-brainer.
Away to Sunderland. Sunderland have been good
at defensively. Just conceded four, though.
I know, but Sunderland is like this chalk and cheese home versus away. I don't know. Look, I think Gibbs White is great. Really happy for him scoring that hat trick. And obviously, as a Spurs fan, you were happy when Burnley scored first, but then Forest completely came back. So I get it. But we'll see. I do think, you know, personally, I try to remove the recency bias into my decision. Like, had he not scored that hat-trick, would he be in consideration this free hit? Maybe, maybe not. So he'll compete with other great midfielders on that free hit. But yeah, he's certainly one to consider as well.
The last two games, Praz, finished 0-0. So it doesn't feel like there's a lot to say about Brentford and Fulham and Crystal Palace and West Ham. But I think there are some players within these games that we should just give a mention to, because obviously all four of them do have a fixture in game week 34 in the blank game week. Now, there's nothing for Bowen in this one, but he has returned in his last five home games. He's back at home in the blank game week. So I think he's got to be a contender for your free hit teams, or even just to own. And there were a lot of managers that wildcarded last week that brought in Jarrod Bowen for his hat trick of assists that he picked up. And now we'll see him come back in after a free hit this week. And if you're in that position, I think that's a really, really nice one to be in. You've also got players like Mavrinapos at West Ham, who has got 42 points over his last four matches, which I could not believe when I read that as a stat. Two clean sheets, three goals, four defensive contribution points and five bonus points. That's massively gone under my radar, but they feel like the West Ham best picks. I mean, if you want to save a bit of money and go for somebody like, you know, a Juve, then okay. But Mavrinapos is not expensive and does feel like a really decent option.
Yep, I agree with that. And I think Bowen is that no-brainer that I think should be on most people's teams this week. I mean, he's on penalties, gets defensive contributions as a forward, which pretty much nobody else does.
Yeah.
And yeah, their home form is great. They have all the motivation. So I think Bowen is fantastic for this week. And I agree with everything you said in terms of defense. If you want to go there, we've talked about enough defenders that you can target. But yeah, Mavropanos is reasonably good as well. A word on Brentford. This was their third 0-0 in the last five games. So it seems like they've turned into a defensive machine rather than the attack that we thought they had, and which was gelling really well with Thiago, Otara and Shade. So a little bit of a concern if you know, you're a Thiago owner. Would you go for Thiago on a free hit?
It's a tough one because Thiago is one of those players that's in my actual FPL team, and it's one of those that to take him out feels all kinds of odd. It's the thing I hate the most is that you take a player out on a free hit and you go, oh no, they're going to punish me, aren't they? But it is a difficult game. It's a difficult game away at Manchester United. I don't love it as a fixture. Despite the haul he got me last week, which I was pleased about, this one, he didn't really do very much either. It's not like I was looking at it and thinking, I've been really unlucky with Thiago in this one. Like,
yeah,
it didn't feel that way. In fact, of the four shots that they had, Dango had three of them during this game against Fulham. So I don't think I will. I think in reality, I mean, Ollie Watkins is a lock, and I think I'm likely to pair him with Jarrod Bowen for this one. And so because of that, that probably means that I won't go for Thiago, because I do also want to have Mo Salah, and I want to have Bruno Fernandes, and I want Virgil, and I want Gabriel, and I want Pedro Porro. And suddenly I'm like, oh, I've got to actually do some FPL budget counting, because over the last few weeks, I haven't really had to think about that. But now I am starting to have to think about that with this team, because adding an Ollie Watkins, he's not cheap. Adding a Jarrod Bowen, he's also not that cheap anymore. So we are talking about some fairly significant prices. And I think when you look at it in the cold light of day, I prefer West Ham's fixture. I prefer Bowen's form. And therefore, I think picking him instead of Thiago makes sense.
Yeah. No, I'm with you as well. I think it's okay to take the ownership on. He could do well against Man United. Man United defensively haven't been great at all. But yeah, maybe have some fun with a Solanke or a Watkins, or maybe play four defenders and play a 4-5-1 with just Bowen. So I think all those options are totally fine. A word on Fulham very quickly. Iwobi came off with an injury. Now that is bad for Fulham's attack. So anyone looking at Wilson on a free hit or not, that could impact him. But on a positive side, Wilson will then take all the set pieces because Iwobi has taken some set piece share from him. So that's one to monitor. And then quick one on Crystal Palace. I don't think they're in people's radars this week, but they do have that game, that postponed game against Man City, which will fall at some point. Sar being on the bench is not a good sign for the amount of rotation that we could see. but their defense just looks good anyway. Like, you know, when Newcastle scored in the previous game week, that was the first shot they had in the 44th minute, kept a clean sheet again. Lacroix, Richards, Munoz just get defensive contributions and clean sheets. So something that people should also keep at the back of their mind.
Yeah, for Lacroix, that was his 17th time he'd hit defensive contributions this season. That's the most of any Palace player. I think I can see over the next couple of weeks, probably not on my free hit, but when I come out of the free hit, I'll definitely be looking for an investment in Crystal Palace.
Right. Well, it's a weird one this week. We still have three fixtures to come, and a lot of us have about 10 or 11 players in our bench boost, maybe 13 players to come. So it's a weird one that we've potted now, but we did have a full set. So we thought, you know, we do this and then we get into the FPL pod, which you guys will do later. And we do have a Friday deadline this time around. So make sure you are, if you're playing a chip, you do press that button, especially if you're doing the free hit, and get those teams sorted and don't get caught out by the early deadline.
Yeah, Kelly, Jules and I are going to be back on Thursday. We'll be running through the key talking points of those final three fixtures of this game week. And we'll also be talking about how to best manage blank game week 34 if you don't have a free hit, as well as the best team to pick if you do.
And if you haven't joined the FPL Pod Mini League, this is really getting time. You should be joining. The code is XY6XPL. Sam, it was a pleasure talking to you again.
Praz, it has been a pleasure. Fingers crossed for some good results for our teams again next week.
Fingers crossed.